26th chapter, first through the 21st to the 6th verse. Our test sermon this morning is walking in righteousness. Walking in righteousness. And the reading scriptures from 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 through 18. But as we will go into our sermon this morning, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you'll be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters." And the first through the sixth verse of Isaiah 26 is speaking of the righteous nation. Speaking of allowing the righteous nation to come in. "And that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwelleth on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall thread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright doest weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thine judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee." So we see here a transformation of something happens, and I told you about it being the millennial reign or whatever. But it seems as though this righteous nation that's coming in, the reign and rule, are a different people. It's a people that's, if we look at it in the earth, he's setting us up for a reign. And with Jesus Christ being a man, as a man, I don't think he walked into the future. What he seen thought, he saw things as it was, as he says, "I am." In other words, he's there in the presence. So we have to start seeing that we have to walk in victory now. He has given us victory now. He has given us power and authority. And as we come out from the world, he says, come out from among them. Well, if we're coming out of somewhere, that means we're entering into somewhere else. We're entering into his righteousness, which is not geographical. We're entering into the kingdom of God. We're looking at it as he looked at it. Once he changed our heart, once the conversion, that wall of salvation, we in his salvation. And as I was telling her just a few minutes ago, some of us may go to sleep within that salvation. We may sleep away. But we still have eternal life. We have the life of God. So we don't fear death. We don't fear the grave or whatever. We walk to do God's will. We stand boldly and proclaim his word and do his works, because it is up to us as separated sons in God, of sons of God, to walk boldly as Jesus Christ did, to walk in that power and authority, to know whose we are and who we are and what's required of us. When putting us on the path, that broad path, the way to life, we're no longer walking in darkness, we're walking in light. But walking in that light, we have to walk in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We have to be clothed in Christ, because we're actually dead. The old man is gone. So what that spirit does when it comes into our lives and we are birthed or born again, and he puts us in his way, in his path, with his light. He say, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the light." We have to trust in him, have faith in him, that he's going to guide us and lead us into all truth. That's why he gives us the spirit. So it's having a goal or objective in life. When someone puts you on a path or a way also could be a directive as to how to achieve this goal or directive. In other words, you have to run this race, you have to walk this path without getting off the path. You'll be disqualified. You can disqualify yourself by getting off the path. He told Joshua, turn not to the right, nor to the left, but go straight ahead. Straight is the road. Narrow is the way that leads to Jesus Christ. So what his word does, my first point would be, what his word does is sanctifies us, sets us apart, and places a gulf between us and the world. It broadens, in other words, their sin and iniquity separates them from God, meaning they won't achieve their directive because all roads don't lead to God, regardless of what anyone else says. Jesus Christ says he's the way, he's the life. He puts us on the right path. He gives us straight highways. So what is your goal or your objective in life? A lot of people say to make heaven my home or whatever. But your goal and objective would be being pleasing unto God. That you follow Jesus Christ. That you become as Jesus Christ in his likeness and in his image. Becoming a son of God. But he gives you that mindset. Jesus told the rich man, a lot of people say his name was Dives or whatever, that there was a gulf between him and Lazarus. Remember, he was desirous of Lazarus to go and tell his brothers or the Lazarus to cool his tongue or whatever. But through the circumstances and the way and the ways of the world, he had traveled the broad road in life. He didn't recognize God was there all the time, but he was traveling as a servant of Satan. He wasn't born again. His mindset wasn't there. Because what he says when he's pleading to Abraham, he says, but Abraham said unto him, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thine good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, you can't get back to God. There's no path back to God. It says those that crucify Christ afresh. Those that leave the church, those that get off the path, that discontinue and say, well, look, that church or that way is not the only way to God. There's many a different ways to Christ or whatever. David lived a life of wealth. He wasn't compassionate for Lazarus. He didn't have the love of God in him. He wouldn't even give Lazarus the crumbs that fallen off of his table. So there was nothing guiding his emotional state or his mental state or his character. His character was self-centered. His character was all up on him. He was comforted. He didn't see whether Lazarus was comforted. The dogs licked the sores that was on Lazarus or whatever. A lot of us have discomfort in this life and things like hardships and oppression and different things going on in our lives. And we as sons of God, when God awakens us, we begin to do good works. God makes us able to see those things that's hindering our brothers or sisters or hindering some of us. He lightens the load or whatever. But when he says, few that be therein, in that path, in that way headed to heaven, headed to Jesus Christ, trying to be all in all in Christ, we have to pull off every weight and sin that's besetting us from running the race. In other words, from traveling this way. We have to lay aside sins, a lot of baggage that we have. We have to crucify self. We have to crucify all our old ways of life, all those pleasures and the love of the world. To widen that gap, to create a gulf between you and the world. You can't look like the world, you can't love the world, and you can't have all the things of the world, because not that those things within themselves are evil, but maybe the way that you are acquiring them are evil or sinful or not the right way. We spoke earlier, and you know, I preach this a lot of times or whatever, and I told you way back, that's why I got rid of YouTube TV or whatever. It had went up to $84 a month or whatever. With internet connections and different communications, whether it's Cox, AT&T, or whatever service provider you have, they can put all kinds of stuff on there to where your cable bill could be $200 or $300 a month, according to what you like sitting there watching and how much you watch television and all the different stuff. And they got security systems that continue. The world continues to pile on or whatever. So sometime if we're not listening to God, you know, because like I said, I've been preaching this, sometime someone in the world comes in and they can see how to lighten the load. Sometime, like I said, the baggage of the sacrifices that you have to make is, like the gentleman told you, return all of that equipment, pull it off, lay down. The rich man can barely enter in through that narrow gate. It says it's like entering through the eye of a needle. You have to pull all those things off, all those flickering to see any movie and anything or whatever. Maybe you have to strip down to just the regular channels. You remember some people had the converter box where they just watched the public channels and the natural channels. There's no use having 10,000 or 20,000 channels or whatever. We're not seeing that God is, as God's straightening the path for his children and the sacrifices he's making us make, we don't realize, or we should start to realize, it was God lighting the load. It wasn't the devil. I thought it was the devil. It was me. It was me wanting to consume this on my own lust. It was me wanting to watch this on television. It was me eating all this. Whatever the weight of sin it is, because I'm not calling food evil or whatever, but if we're not eating the right foods or the right types of food, or if we're eating too much food, we will be obese. We will be overweight. It's going to be detrimental to our health. Those will be weights and sins that's besetting us from running the race. And so as we lay aside those things, the gulf between you and the world widens. Because it's a lot of people going to be talking about, did you see this or did you see that? And you're not going to have time to see that. You'll have more time to study God's word, because this is not on television. You can't sit there and watch television hour after hour if you're a child of God. Because if you're not a child of God, the body and the mind, it adapts to wherever it is. You become complacent where you are. If you're not a child of God, you'll learn other things to do wrong or evil. But if you're a child of God, you'll see that it'll put you on the path that you'll use that for efficient way. So the money you save on those bills or whatever, if you're not returning a portion of that to God, or if that doesn't bring you to being able to pay tithes and offerings and helping others or whatever, you emptying the house, but you're not placing the right things back in the house, the right furniture to protect you. You're not maintaining good works. You only switched that for something else. You switched it for another sin. It's like I was telling y'all about authorized representatives one day. It's like going to a false preacher or a false prophet or something, a healing crusade, and they heal you, but not according to the word of God, and they're not in the direction of the path of the way. Well, that healing that seemed like a blessing, it was a curse to you, because all that did was engender you to follow a false prophet, to follow the wrong leadership. A lot of people went for the past president we had or whatever because they say, oh, he's fighting for the little man, he's doing this for the small guy. He's going to restore the Supreme Court with conservative judges or whatever. We will get our way with Roe versus Wade. You're looking at what it does for you, but you're not looking for the principle or the directive that God has said. You chose a president for your own lust, for what you can get out of it or whatever. and you're following this guy, and he's gotten you off the path with eye candy. A lot of times people get you off the right path in the right way because it satisfies another lust, it satisfies another portion of the flesh, but it appeals to your vanity. So in this life, it may be that you have to suffer. You might have to be like Paul. God had put a thorn in his flesh so he wouldn't be lifted up. He wouldn't receive the accolades, or he was always in pain or suffering or whatever, because without that, you would get off the path. You would get out of the way. So sometimes God places these obstacles in your home or whatever, and we just have to learn forbearance or long-suffering. But we have to learn the lesson that's built into that suffering, that's built into that. We have to find Christ in all things. Where is Christ here? That's why we have to pray and study God's word, and Jesus Christ reveal these things to you through his Spirit. It's like back in the day, it used to be, they had a television seller, a man that sold televisions. His name was Big Lloyd McLeod. One of his advertising slogans was, Lloyd McLeod, McLeod's number one in widening the gap. You have to widen the gap between you and the world. You have to put some distance between you and the world. You have to be separated from the world. Continue to come out. People say, well, you thought I was bad then. If you thought that was bad, I'm going to get about worse. And there's a scripture for that, but I'm not going to go back and try to linger on it. But it's sometimes it gets heavier and heavier because you're being desensitized to the world and you're becoming more sensitive to things of God. There's a greater light. After you come out of darkness, God eases you into the light. You remember I was talking about Wednesday night, that if it was pitch dark in here and you stepped outside into the light would blind you. Your eyes have to have a gradual showing, and that's why when the doctor dilates your eyes or whatever, that light has become so bright or so stimulating, because you have to adjust to it. We have to adjust to acclimate our temperatures to this room when we come in or whatever. You have to become acclimated. We have to become acclimated to God's word, to walk in it. We have to grow in it. It's a process. Jesus gives us a goal and objectives in life, and he places us on the path. Jeremiah 29:10-14. So we abandon all our plans. We abandon everything we have because it is no longer us that live. So we don't have objectives. We don't have priorities in life, because now our will is to do the will of the Father. It's to do the will of God. Jesus Christ, in the book of Jeremiah, God says, the 29th chapter, 10-14 verse, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." So we see that in Isaiah here, that when he called his people, this was salvation coming unto these people. Some of them wasn't even seeking or searching for it, but he gifted them with eternal life. He gifted them with his Spirit. He brought them into a saving relationship because the walls was of salvation. It was like bulwarks. In other words, now I've started a process in you. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. I have gotten you to believe. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the word of faith. That seed of faith has been planted. The word is going to grow in you. So all of that trial and tribulation, that 70 years, those problems that you went through, now I'm going to bring you to this place. He says, because why does we do that? Because he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace." You remember it says it's going to give us peace, an everlasting peace and a joy. "And not of evil, to give you an expected end." He knows how this ends for you because he's the one created and formed it, and he's going to direct you in that path. He says, then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. All this time I hadn't been listening because your iniquity had separated you from me. There was that gulf, and everything that you did seemed like it came to naught. All of these accomplishments, everything you was doing was becoming a wayside away. But now I'm listening because now I birth you again, and you no longer trying to amass stuff for you. You go lay up treasure in heaven. You go do this the right way. You will stay on this path. You will be obedient unto me. He says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried captive. So you are no longer in bondage to cable. You're no longer in bondage to food. There's liberty in Christ Jesus. You're no longer under the law. So it's not a sin to watch television. If you had tons of money and could afford it or whatever, whatever cable cost or whatever, if you was that person or that's what God had in your life. So it's according to what God has in your life. So I'm not against the world or the things of the world, but the love of the things of the world, the abusing of the things of the world. To want those things and to be able to deny God, you had made those your gods because you was taking God's money, his time, his offering, your patience, what you supposed to be in church, where you supposed to be helping people, and it was all going to your children, your grandchildren, it was going to your cars, your homes, it was going to you. You were satiated with the premiums and the things of this world. You were like Sodom and Gomorrah. You had become a materialist, a capitalist. You were no longer socially, a lot of people like the word socialist is a bad word or whatever, but socialists, those are the ones that was trying to maintain good works and do good works for all people. That was helping all things. That was for the good of the community and all of us. That cared about Lazarus laying out there eating the crumbs that would fall from the table. You would start throwing a little bit of meat and a little rice and gravy, a little heavy stuff out there for Lazarus to eat. You would try to help with health care so the sores on his, on Lazarus and all these things would be healed, that healing would come his way. You would try to get out of the bad doctors. You would help them to the right doctors, doctors that are not vain, that are not just in the job to be in the job. Governmental leaders or church leaders, he said that you could thread the proud and the hearty underfoot. In other words, you could start as sons of God establishing yourself on this earth. You could have to start having frictions with the things that are not right. We're not going to criticize all this other stuff, but we're going to stand and speak against it, speak the word of God, and preach his word of God. Why? Because we were created for good works. He purposed in us from the foundations of the world. So why are we here? When he births us again, he gives us a direction. He didn't just born us again just to go out and enjoy the world and just not form a character. It was a reason he created us anew. If we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, why did he choose us? Why did he pull us out? For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. We are peculiar people created in Christ Jesus. Now we have to be in Christ, reborn from above, spiritually transformed with a renewed, ready to be used. Lord, here I am. What can I do? What do you want me to do? He says, ready for every good work which God prepared. Who prepared? God had prepared for us before taking paths which he said, this is the way that I want you to walk. Walk therein. This is the way. Not the way you, don't get off this beaten path. Being old country boy or whatever, Brother Jackson would understand what I mean when you're out there in the woods or whatever. You know, sometimes people love to be trailblazers and make different paths or whatever. And in the woods there, you can see, like the old people would say, that beaten path. Now that beaten path, when we say straight, we don't mean straight as an arrow. That beaten path is the best way to go. But see, if you're in the prosperity gospel, or you in something else or being led by someone else, well, look, we don't want to go around all this or whatever. We want to go this way. And you get off that path taking a shortcut. You didn't have those people say, let's take a shortcut. And you'll read of this in Pilgrim's Progress. But getting off those paths, you go further down and you go way off in the woods and you done gotten off that path. And you go run into a canal. You go run into where it's a lot of snakes or different things this way. It's a lot of snares or things this way. So you can say, well, look, we don't want to go back. We don't want to go across this pond or this and that. That we would have to go back and get on the path. You see how much time it takes you to get on the path? Because even though it curved around there and went this way, going that way didn't seem right to you or make sense to you, but it's a reason you were taken that way. It was a reason the children of Israel, you know, it was just a short hop from where they were going to where God wanted them at, but God took them a way that took 40 years because he said, let's not take them the way of the Philistines, lest they see war or whatever and they get scared and turn back. See, it may be a day that you might have to confront this bully. It may be a day that you have to confront your spouse, whether it be husband or wife or your children or whatever. It may be a day you have to confront your relatives of these problems or whatever. But God comes into your life and prepares you or gets you ready so you'll be able to fight that battle in a godly manner and do it the right way. That you won't just go in and do evil and doing good. So we don't do evil to do good. A lot of people say, well, I did it for the right. Yeah, but it was the means, it was the way you did it. So you could help someone, but you can speak to them or say it the wrong way. Or you could use manipulation. So along the path, that directive along the path is the principles and precepts and statutes of God. Did you do it the way God commanded you to do it? Nadab and Abihu got drunk and they just offered up fire to the Lord. But they didn't do it the right way. So it was strange fire. It wasn't done the way he wanted them to do it. So he says, before taking paths which he said that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. So it's the good life, even though you're suffering, you may be kind of tired of the manner going along the way, but it's filling, ain't it? It's keeping you strong, ain't it? It may not be what your flesh or what your idea of it, but you thanking God or whatever because you know God's good to you. We no longer walk the old path. We walk in the narrow path of light. That's a very narrow way. God sends us the narrow way, not the broad way. And that's a way of holiness. People can't just err in this path. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now that God given you more time from all those things that wise counsel told you and dropped all those things from Cable, dropped all those things, what you going to do with that time? How you going to feel that time? How you going to feel that voice? Are you going to do it in godly pursuits? What you going to do with that money? You see, because there are many different ways to use that, but there is one right way to do it. There's a godly way to do that. He says, for once you were in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live as those that are native born to the light. You have to walk as though you've been here. And the only way you can do that is studying his word and by taking heed to his word. Because there are still many things that are trying to knock you off the path and you're not understanding whether that's God's word or not, and you're acting too fast, reciprocating yourself. You're not being led by the Spirit of the Lord. You're not allowing him to open the doors and go his way. He says, for the fruit, the effect, in other words, the result of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn by experience what is pleasing to the Lord. And letting your lifestyle be examples of what is most acceptable to him. Your behavior expressing gratitude to God for your salvation. Always being thankful and grateful to God. Thank God he has saved me. I thank God, even though this is going on in all this, you're not seeing what I see. Though he slayed me, yet I'm going to serve him. Because it's better to be in bondage to God than to be a slave and enjoy melons and leeks in Egypt. Do not participate in worthless and unproductive deeds of darkness, but instead expose them by exemplifying personal integrity, moral courage, and godly character. So God, on that path that he's doing, taking you, you're denying a lot of self. You're starting to see your children. You're starting to see your spouse. You're starting to see your relatives and everybody else. Now, it's going to make enemies. See, because you got to realize you're in a warfare. And your enemies may be those of your own household. So when you're trying to make right decisions, there's always those that will curse God and die. And she might not have said it directly, saying curse God and die, because most times people use this sugarcoat stuff. Yeah. They offer advice or whatever, and it seems good to you. And that's why it says there's a way that seems right to a man. In other words, this person is coming in and offering to do something, or saying, let us do this, or let us take the money and do this, or let us take the time and do this, or whatever. But it's about leadership, see, because leadership and those that are following God, those that are listening to God, sometimes you take it and pray. A couple of people, I say, well, I'll help you, try to help you find a doctor. I'm try to help you do this. I'm going to try to do this. But I don't just leap into that. I kind of wait, and it, hopefully they'll pray, because it's not really going to work for them if they're not praying for it, because I'm trying to teach you, pray and ask God. He's going to show you. He's going to tell you. Okay, and you say, Lord, let us find a doctor. Let us find someone that's going to heal me. Let us find someone that's going to. You're praying to God because the healing has to come through Jesus Christ. He has to lead you to the healing. You're not looking for something spooky or supernatural till he just, bam, the cancer gone. Bam, whatever you have is gone. God works through man. The hands of God, we are the hands of God. These things come through us. We would do the works, the good works that we should do. But he said, expose those that are not doing good works. Expose those that are not giving good counsel. By resisting people, by telling people, no, you're not going to be popular. People are not going to like you when they say, well, no, I don't, that's good. Thank you for saying that. I'll consider that. But you can reject people giving you counseling and advice because God is leading you. And you have to make that decision, and the consequences are going to be on you. It says, but all things become visible when they're exposed by the light of God's precepts. His precepts is the light of God. What precept is involved in what are you doing? Am I looking at this from God's perspective? What you said, is that of God? Is that materialistic? In other words, Peter said, Lord, that shall not happen to you. Very quickly, Jesus didn't have to go and explain, like he says, get behind me, Satan, because Jesus knew God's directive and his the way he should go to the cross and the way was suffering. But Peter was offering a different precept to the cross, a different way to salvation. There's no other way. Jesus knew he had to die the death on the cross. That was satanic for him to suggest any other way. So that was Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan, because the will of God shall be done. Yes. And you remember Jesus did pray about it, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, if there were any other way, but he says, nevertheless, thy will be done. Yeah. So you know the way, the truth, and the life because he reveals that to you. For this reason, he says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you and give you light. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, that you be circumspective in all these things. And like I say, a lot of times people give you advice or whatever, but you don't have to take their advice. You have to weigh that through the Word of God. You have to measure it because you never know what that person or what then got hold to that person, what spirit that person is in. There be many spirits. He says, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. The old man has died. We are resurrected in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted into him, joined in him, by faith, as their Savior. In other words, I'm just trusting in him and in his word. And he said, if I continue in his word, then I'm his disciple. He is a new creature. He's a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Spirit of God. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a spiritual awakening in his life. There's a new directive in his life. The imperative is God's word. The indicative is God's word. In other words, the commands, the guidance, and everything. Christ is your all in all. Everything is focused on Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. Because you've died to self. So it's no longer about me. It's about Jesus Christ. We've been given a new mind. It says, let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And in that mind lies the directive of pleasing God. Lies the directive of pleasing God. That's what you are doing. That's all you live to do. Each day you rise up and you fall to your knees. Our Father which art in heaven, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Lead us not into no temptation. See, because along this path, there are a lot of things that try to get us off the path. Don't allow these temptations to lead me off. For thine is the kingdom and power, so yours is the kingdom and power and the glory. There be many other paths and many other ways, but those are temptations, and some of those temptations are coated with sugar. It's coated with nice. Sin looks good and sin feels good, but sin is horrible. It'll destroy you. But the word of God sometimes is bitter and sour, and it'll yield things to you that are blessings to your spiritual, your inner man. The people, when God gave them, Jesus spoke to them, and they said, this is a hard word that you say. This is a bitter pill to swallow. It's like eating broccoli. It's like eating vegetables or whatever. It's much easier to eat steak. It's much easier to eat shrimp and all these things. But you know, even your doctors tell you that red meat is not good for you. It was a reason God said some of those things was unclean to us. But those vegetables, those plants, they give us protein. They give us energy. Yes. A lot of times it doesn't give us arthritis. It doesn't give us high blood pressure. It doesn't give us cholesterol. It doesn't give a lot of things. So it may not. You may not like broccoli. You may not like cauliflower. You may not like asparagus or whatever. It's bitter going down or whatever. But it strengthens the inner man. It strengthens the core. It strengthens the bone. The word of God sometimes is that way. You might have to walk a lonely road. You might have to suffer through being your brother's keeper. You might have to suffer on the job that everybody's not looking up to. You might have to suffer through your spouse and everything because you have an unbeliever. You realize now that you have a false professor in your own home. You realize that it's causing a gulf between you and your children walking the way of God and the Word of God. They're calling you old-fashioned. They're saying, well, don't call for all that. Well, you're a fool to pay first. See, because you know the spiritual people, and that's why Job knew it wasn't financial with him. Because the first thing he did was gave back to God what he got from God. You know, in your life, if you pay to God last, that's not God first in your life. If it's first in your life, you pay that as you're calling bills, but it's not a bill. You're just giving God what belongs to him. Then the rest of it is where you have to sacrifice it. That's where things don't get done. So before you go explaining to the Cox Band, before you go explaining to your children and everybody else, I don't have to explain to God because that's my God. He comes first in my life. Yeah. Now, if I have to explain to anybody, it's going to be you. If they do anything, they're going to have to cut. I'm going to have to make the sacrifice. I can't give to God what ain't costing me nothing. So it's going to cost me to be short here, but I'm not going to be short where God is. So the problem in your life, you know it's not with God because you're doing what God told you to do. See, that's why Job could tell his friends what he was telling them and say, that's what brought boldness in his life. That's why God says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. You go lean and you're not going to borrow because it's not financial. All of us in here that have been following God for a while, tell me this. Do you really have to go borrow from other people or whatever? If your relatives or somebody come around you or whatever, look, now you would have to take what I'm giving you because you're not coming here telling me what to do. God made me the head. I'm not compromising in this area. God go get his first because he's been good to me, and I'm the head, not the tail. I'm going to lean and not borrow. I'm not going to make an excuse that because, you know what? After a while, you learn not to overload yourself. Yeah. You remember that's why I told you that's why I drive that old truck?
Yeah.
Remember I told you that's why I might not have all the convenience or whatever? Because I found out it's going to cost me in the long run.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start doing what God says the people were doing in Malachi. He says, will a man rob God? He said, you've robbed me the whole night. So sons of God know not to rob God because I won't be the head anymore if I do this. God can make me have to go to somebody with my hat in my hand and say, will you have mercy upon me? We, you know, you back down or whatever. If anybody back down, it's going to be you. We didn't see Jesus backing down. He was in control. God gives us that authority. The world will hate you for that. But it's the will of God that we walk in. Philippians, for it is not your strength, but it is God effectively working in you, both to will and to do. But you know what? The world will try to scare that out of you from being bold to be able to have that character of God for walking and walking in that authority as sons of God. Yes. That's why it says, open up the door. You remember when the people came for Christ and Christ spoke and they fell backwards? Yeah. When Peter started to speak with boldness, because why? He's actually living this way. Righteousness is a part of your life. See, when he first sent them out the first time, they was preaching the gospel and doing all these things and casting out devils. But did you notice that they didn't have the Spirit? That even Judas was out doing these same things? The Spirit didn't come and reside and dwell in them till the day of Pentecost. So when he sent out the 70, when he sent them out casting out devils and doing all these things, it was the word of God. That's why preachers and teachers and false prophets and things. You remember Apollos was preaching with power the word of God, but he was lacking something. It was the Spirit of God. See, the word of God, the Spirit in you makes you sons of God. It gives you power. And until you lay aside those weights of sin or whatever that baggage is that's stopping you from fulfilling the imperative, directive goal of God, that's going to beset you from running the race. You're not going to be able to have those things where you say what you say because you're a hypocrite. You say one thing and doing another. In front of other people or whatever, you're saying and doing this, but you're not doing the will of God. He says, That is strengthening and energizing and creating in you the longing and the ability to feel your purpose for his good pleasure, doing everything without murmuring or questioning, so that you may prove yourself to be blameless, guileless, innocent, uncontaminated, children of God without blemish in the midst of a morally crooked and perverse generation. God's going to make you that way when you start obeying his will and walking in it. You will get stronger. It's like exercising. The muscles will start coming. You assimilating his word. His word is having an effect in you because why? You're a doer of the word. Amen. You can hear the word. That's why the church is full of so many cowards. Mm-hmm. And they say the cowards shall not enter in because they're not walking the narrow way. What would have put them in a gulf is, that's why a lot of spouses are afraid of the other spouse. Because either that woman or that man has established that they're the authority in that home. Whether it be Satan or whether it be God. The power is established in that home. You know, sometimes Satan establishes powers in the home. You know that? He has the power and authority, and he's a hypocrite. Because why? The husband or the wife might know the word of God, but they don't actually believe it or put it to use or whatever. In other words, if you start doing this, it might cause one of them to walk. It might put some distance between us. But that gulf has to come. You no longer agree on things. We can just live together as husbands and wife. We don't even have any compassion or whatever the way it is because I have to follow God. I have to be separate. I can't agree with you doing good. I can't agree with you in all these pursuits or whatever. Because how can two walk together if they don't agree? So I don't have anything to agree with. I have to be able to walk with God, to walk in his path. I have to agree with his precepts, with his word or whatever. So if you're going the wrong way, you didn't gotten off the beaten path. If we're driving on in the car when we first get married and you used to sit up under me, you moved over by the door. I didn't move. I'm still driving the car. You moved. So you put the distance. Iniquity separates you from God. See, that's why repentance. John came preaching repentance. And see, without preaching repentance, how can we make the path smooth? You never have to, because it's rocks, it's all kinds of things in the way. Every weight and sin that's besetting you, it's all kinds of things in the way. You got to get this out of your life. You got to get this baggage out of your life to follow God. Now, obstacles, John says, repent, change your inner self. In those days came John the Baptist preaching. Repent, that means a change. Repent in your lifestyle. Repent, inner change within you, because a lot of people act like they change and they get on that same path. Get right back in the way. The dog returning to the vomit. They hadn't repented. They just got a different way of acquiring the things that they had. True repentance and a true birth and a true way of God requires everybody's going to toe the line. That's going to be a plumb line, and everybody has to walk that path. It says, every valley shall be raised, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become plain, and the rugged places a broad valley. In other words, fill the valleys, level the hills, straighten out the crooked paths, and smooth off the rough spots. In other words, all this in your life that's not lined up with the word of God has to come out of your life. But I have to be then cleansing my life up. I have to be then gotten a beam out of my eyes before I can do it to you. So before the poor can thread up on these proud, high-minded people, they have to be then got self straight. They have to be on the path in their way themselves. Lazarus had to be on the path and on the way. Apparently he was, because he says now Lazarus is comforted. Because there are some ways, if you take the wrong way, you'll rise up, but you're off the path. You got wealthy the wrong way. You got quick riches. That's why he tells us about acquiring quick riches. We need to acquire this through experience, because hard work, when you work for something hard, you don't turn it or lose as easy. When you done suffered, when you've been cold, when you've been short, when you've been hungry, when you've been physically debilitated and all these things, and God puts you in charge and puts you in the way. If God does it, you'll be like Joseph. You'll be merciful and helpful and do good works, but you won't just leave it out there for the wicked and the evil just to get it easily. Yes. You'll thread those ways down. Now, he's not talking about turning goats into sheep. That's what I'm saying. This week, I've been having problems with a young lady or whatever. And I'm trying to feel her out or whatever. Because some people are connivers and are born connivers. You understand what I'm saying? Instead of you seeing someone trying to help you, tell the truth and be truthful, because they're looking at it from a godly perspective. In other words, God is giving them wisdom and questions to ask and ways to answer, because God tests all of us. God tests all of us in ways. He said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all vanity and vexation of spirit. There, that's Ecclesiastes 1 and 15, it says, that which is crooked, it cannot be made straight, and that which is worn cannot be numbered. In other words, the living says, what is wrong cannot be righted. It is water over the dam, and there's no use thinking what might have been. Some people will be lost. Some of our relatives or friends or people in the world, they'll crook, be like Judas. His disciples didn't get entangled with Judas or whatever, but Judas was damned from the beginning. He was a devil, and God says, one of you is a devil. I knew it when I chose you. You treat people in a relative way or whatever, but God gives you the power to overcome those people or whatever. Don't let them drag you down. You can't turn a goat into a sheep. Mm-hmm. Those that are lost, God has redeemed some that was created from the foundations of the world. So those that God had chosen to hear God's word and be converted and be regenerated. But there are tares out there. That's why I say we live in a wicked and evil world. There are people that are born con artists. There are people that are born that not going to change. They have that embedded in them. And you wonder, we come from the same mother and father, but it's something wicked about you. It's something conniving about you. Your attitude and disposition, something hadn't changed. Now I'm going to treat you and love you like a brother, and God tells me, Jesus Christ tells me to do that. But the judgment that falls upon you is of God and from God. So when you come to me, why all this happening and why all that happened, I'm going to give you the word of God as to why it's happening. It's nothing I can do about it, but it's the judgment of God. And that's what I say. That's why it changes your heart, because if your heart goes out to these people, and that's why I told you, sometimes God people die. Sometimes God people in poverty and be broke or whatever, because you've listened at the sob story, and you've listened at the sob story, you'll end up giving them your money and all the things that God had blessed you with. You'll give them your possessions, your time and energy and everything. Sometimes you have to be short with people. When Jesus told the man who wanted him to make his brother to divide the inheritance over him, Jesus said, who had made me a ruler or judge over you? See, because he wanted to get that out of what God had said, because there were different ways God's law said to divide inheritance or whatever. And see, as a Christian, people will come to you saying, pray for me or whatever. When people come and ask different questions and do different things, you need to be circumspect, because the spiritual judge in all things as to why this predicament or why this has come about. And as we say, we have to be careful and circumspect. What are you trying to get me involved in? And that's what Jesus was asking him. Say, now, dividing the inheritance, who made me a ruler, a judge? Sometimes strife doesn't belong to us. We get involved in other people's strife or whatever. And a lot of times, people telling you their problems or whatever. Okay, well, look, if I'm going to get in your problem or whatever, and you actually be in your problem, we're going to handle it this way and not your way. That's why it's your problem. You couldn't handle it. You brought it to me. But you bring it in to me and then tell me how to handle your problem, you're going to make it my problem. Sometimes we must allow God's work to go ahead without intervention because we don't have all the facts. They didn't come and had told me the story. When I go hear the other side of the story and I find out what it all involved, you know what? You didn't have good sense for getting in this in the beginning, and if I wouldn't have investigated in this, both of us would have sunk. You'd have brought both of us down this same hole because now you want to make me to go along with your crazy ideas or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're on a solid path, stay on the path. Don't let nobody or nothing get you off the path. Mm-hmm. Me and my brother was coming from U Pullet. My brother Eli, we was coming from U Pullet, and it was something wrong with my truck or something. But he said, well, look, I didn't forget what we was doing, Oil, but we was coming from across the river to U Pullet. He says, what you need to do, though, is we was going to cross the bridge, and I had to get over there. And it is you in that left lane, you have to be going a certain speed, but I couldn't go in that speed. But I wasn't able to get in the right lane, he says. But what you do is you just get in that lane and hold that lane. They will try to get you out that lane, but you just hold that lane. So I got that lane, and they was blowing and honking and doing all this here. And, you know, I'm like, man, all these people, when everybody come against you, your wife come against you, children and everything. When the circumstances in life come against you, hold your lane. Hold that path. He was sitting there, just hold that path. No matter what they do, you hold that lane. You hold that way. Well, he was a wise counselor for me because if I'd have got out, I couldn't have got back in. Once you've escaped the corruption in this world, if you escaped all your bills or cable from this, or if you've escaped these, a lot of people, they get a divorce or whatever, but 6 months later, a year later, they didn't marry somebody else. You back in the same position you was, and then they divorce a second time. You just like my wife or whatever. Well, maybe marriage wasn't for you. You know, a lot of times we get out of one situation and get back into that situation. We get out of debt, go get back into debt. The Lord says, oh, no man for nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't go get all that stuff. Think about it before you get that stuff. How you going to pay for it? Because it's a blessing when you first get it. 6 months or a year down the line, after you can't pay for it, that old devil doing this and that, it's a curse. Now you done got them people stuff and can't pay for it. That's why we have a national collapse. We see the judgment coming upon this nation, upon this earth or whatever. That collapse has to come. I don't have to make this a second part. The nation has to collapse. We've been created for good works, and I've been preaching this for years or whatever. Can you see now that the nation hadn't maintained good works? That there's no justice in the nation? If you're not born again, you go, world. Oh, he's talking about America against the nation. We're talking about the world. We're talking against the nation, the devil's system. Because when it says open the door that the righteous nation shall enter in, I'm sure he's talking about the people in Russia. I'm sure he's talking about the people in China. I'm sure he's talking about the people in Japan. I'm sure he's talking about the people in Australia. And I'm sure he's talking about Canada and South America and Africa. And I'm 100% positive he's talking about the people in America. And I'm sure he's not talking about all of the people in none of these places, because 60 to 70% of them are tares. So as judgment is falling upon this nation, as judgment is falling upon this world, it's going to be happening. He tells you it's going to happen all around you, but it's not going to come nigh thee. If you stand on the path, you will see the wicked pass away. You will see the chaff blown away. But don't get entangled in other people's affairs. Don't get tangled in this world's affairs. Just before Israel and Judah fell to the Assyrians and Babylonians, God called several prophets to warn his people and urge them to repent, to change. In the recording events of that time, these prophets paid particular attention to the attitudes within their societies. If you notice, the churches have inspired the attitudes of our leaders and people in this, but it's been the broad way. It's been off the beaten path. So you're not going against God. You're going against those that's within the church that God says he was going to verily fight against. Because the church has gotten off the path. And when I say church, you know, I use the word stereotype a lot of times. Notice that in the book of Revelations, to five of the churches, what he kept telling them, repent unless I come and fight with you, with the sword of my mouth. In other words, with the word. See, that's why I'm trying to energize you by God's word and by his spirit. That's why the people in the church are halfway dead, because they're so wrapped up in the world, in the things of the world, they think that we're talking against them. They think they're doing God a favor when they follow anything that just says Jesus or God, and they don't realize that the devil has a label saying that he's Jesus. He's Antichrist, what he is. If we compare our society with those societies, we'll see that the collapse is imminent because the attitude and the dispositions was the same. We'll see that. And that's why I said, don't get entangled with the world, but don't get involved with another person's strife. There's no Democrat or Republican. What it is God's people and the world. That's where the fight starts at. You know, in this nation fulfilling the Gorbachev, Khrushchev, I think it was Nikita Khrushchev, said that he would bury us with our own constitution. Did you know that it came about January 6th? United States fell as a nation on January 6th when our president insurrected against the nation. And the Republican senators went along with that. There was no impeachment. There was no standing up and maintaining justice and righteousness. Because according to the Constitution, the oath that he took, he was hypocritical of that oath. And that's why Bill Cassidy stands out as a beacon here in Louisiana. John Kennedy and Steve Scalise is of the Antichrist Party because they violated the Constitution. They fulfilled Nikita Khrushchev's prophecy. Because every police officer, and even with my brother's son when it was a police, that police is looking, they say, if you can just hold on for a few minutes, the cavalry is coming to protect you. The army or the military, you're sworn to protect this nation. My son was a Marine. My daughter is in the army. A major in the army. They swear an oath to defend the United States, the Constitution of the United States of America, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. There was domestic terrorism that we wasn't defended against. Those policemen that lost their lives and that were injured in the Capitol, the government should have had someone there to protect those people within 10 minutes. It should have never occurred, but there's no reason for that place. They have a thing calling corralling. That place should have been surrounded. No one should have left off the premises of the Capitol that was there in that insurrection that didn't get at least 20 years, a sentence in prison because of an insurrection against the United States of America. They lost their sovereignty at that point. That's why it's so pertinent. We don't realize things that happen today. If that would have happened, that's why when it happened in China and Tiananmen Square, notice to put down that China did that. You do it in Russia and see what Russia does to you. So God does the same thing. We don't notice it because we're a capitalistic, hypocritical nation. These things are happening in the physical, but we don't see the spiritual. That's why he calls us out of Babylon. Now, they did something with Lynn Cheney and Dave Cassidy, Steve Cassidy, whatever, what's Cassidy's name? Bill Cassidy, all these that voted for this. But those people had principles to stand on. And that's what Cassidy said. It says, I have to stand for the Constitution. I can't follow a man. Everybody else is following a man. They call it Trumpism. When you're getting off the path, God warns you. A lot of us are being warned, but that inner man, we're too fearful to act upon it and crucify. We won't be in that minority of the 300 of Gideon. Gideon had 32,000 soldiers, but of that 32,000, only three of them thought the Lord's battle was victorious in it. And they didn't have to kill anybody. All they had in hand was pitchers and lamps. But they were courageous and they fought and they had faith in the battle. So I'm going to have to end this because of the goals and the directives. The question is, and we will conclude this next week, what is your goal? What is your directive? Are you reigning here on earth? Are you preparing to meet God? Are you a part of following man? What are you being led by? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Are you being led by the spirit of man? Are you a tare? It says, check and see whether you be in the faith. We have so many miserable Christians. We have so many people that are not having a hope and energy looking forward in reigning here on earth. God had given us the power and authority to become the sons of God, and we're hesitating on that. We're not doing it. And every time you hear them, they're always miserable. They're tired. They're not energetic. They're not people that you just sit around or enjoy their company with or whatever, because they're not children of God. If they're children of God, they're waning and on their way out and not doing the things of God, because, like I say, there are a lot of children of God that won't see the end of this battle, but they'll see eternal life. Are you fighting the good fight so when you do leave here, you can say that you fought the good fight? That you had joy? That you had peace in your life? God gives us joy and peace at any age. Annas and Simon, they fought for that. If you notice Simeon and Anna, they were very old people, but they were ready to die at that time because they had saw the Lord. Have you seen God in your life? Have God came into your life and give you that peace and joy? You must needs be born again. He puts us on the path. He puts us in the way. But there's going to be all sorts of things to knock us off that path. But we have to boldly walk as the sons of God. Heavenly Father,